always going forth.
Yes, Father.
Lord, make us receptive.
Yes, Father.
Lord, you've prepared our hearts, and now we
thank you, Lord.
Are ready for the seed. And Lord Jesus, bless Jim. Let him be receptive to your spirit, and let the word flow through him today, Lord.
Yes,
Father, we just thank you and praise you in all things, because we know that you're working for our good.
Yes.
Bless the service following, Lord, and we just thank you for everything that you're doing. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Dad. Well, it's an interesting song, Psalm 58. But it's like anything else when you're dealing with the Word of God. You got to get tuned into the proper frequency, because you know your mind is always at the forefront, and it's always ready with explanations of what you believe these words mean. And in Psalm 58, I found it particularly interesting that many of the words in Psalm 58, as I read them initially, I pretty well thought I had a fair understanding of what David was trying to convey here. But then when I really waited in the presence of the Lord and was patient, and boy, we have need of patience as God's people. I mean, if we're going to hear the Lord, we've got to be a patient people. We've got to sit in his presence. We've got to give him our undivided attention. We've got to meditate on his voice within. And like I started out saying before, we got to tune into that right frequency. It's like the radio stations, like we've all heard, you know, if you want to hear Rich and the brothers on the radio, you're going to have to find that exact number. Otherwise, you're going to be tuning in everything else under the sun, and you're not going to be hearing the right voice. So some of the thoughts that were occurring to me was, I understand why David couldn't really build the temple of God, why Solomon had to do it. Because I think the scripture says that David was a man of war, than the said Oscar, and that was, I think, it seemed like that was the reason why God did not choose David or something to actually rebuild the temple. And then he chose Solomon, and you know, you look at the definition of Solomon's name, and it means peace. And peace is what builds the temple of God. And every time you read all the Psalms of David, you know, his mind was always in a tither. I mean, you know, he was always under attack. I mean, if it wasn't Saul or the Philistines or whatever, he was always under attack. And all the Psalms that you read, he's always crying out about his enemies and the warfare that's going on inside Israel and inside himself. And his mind was where the warfare was. And I think because of all the warfare that was going on in David's mind, God had to have a man of peace to build the temple. And it was like the Lord was saying to me, the only way you're going to get this temple built, son, it's already built, but the only way you're going to, you know, come into this knowledge, this wisdom, this revelation inside of you is through peace. You're going to have to enter into your rest. You're going to have to go inside. You're going to have to fellowship and meditate on me. And I have to be, Eby just wrote a great letter. His last newsletter was about our environment. He talked about our heredity, and then he talked about our environment, which are the two main things in any child's life. It depends, his heritage, his heredity, what family he's born into means a lot. I mean, you know, how many times you see gifted pianists or gifted athletes or whatever, the next thing their sons are gifted athletes and gifted pianists. But then he said, the second greatest thing in order to come into your inheritance is your environment. And he said this is where he feels that most of God's congregation or most of God's people are missing it. Yeah, they get saved. They know that they're sons of God. They know that, you know, that God is their father, what have you. But then the rest of their days, they either wait either on a taking away, a catching up, or they just decide that they're going to live as good a godly a life through their own strength that they can until the day they die and go home to be with the Lord. And he was talking about how important the environment is, that after you get saved, that you walk in the kingdom, you live in the kingdom of God, you understand where the kingdom of God is. And so I guess I'm saying all that because we can't spend enough time with the Lord, let's put it that way. Like I was saying, David had all this warfare going on in his mind, like I do, like a lot of us do, you know, the challenge of the world and what have you. But he chose Solomon because Solomon was a man of peace, and that's what built the temple. If you get anything out of that rambling, what I'm saying, okay, because I realize I am rambling right now. But getting into Psalm 58...
can I say something before you?
Yes, sure.
You know, you talked about David having all the warfare, and I always felt like, personally, that David was the type of Jesus Christ. Because David's name means beloved.
Yes, right.
And love is the only thing that can ever defeat all of our enemies. You know, and David was a man after God's own heart, mm-hmm. in the sense that he always fell back on the Lord and relied on the Lord. Mm-hmm. And, you know, David supplied everything to build the temple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I realize that.
By the time Solomon came around,
he had all the resources there.
There was dumps at the end of the city, around the city, where literally they said that the gold and the silver and the brass and all that was just piled up in big dumps, where he had everything ready to build the temple. And, you know, what I was thinking about as you was talking, because we do war a lot, see,
yeah.
But the battle's over.
Mm-hmm.
The victory's already been won.
Mm-hmm.
And he defeated all of our enemies and all of our foes. It's just that we haven't totally learned to come into that place of rest,
right.
And peace,
yes.
To walk in it. And yet when Solomon came forth, I think Solomon was a type of us,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the sense that he shouldn't have been the king. According to his birthright,
mm-hmm.
you know, one of the elder brothers should have been the king, you know, because he was really one of the youngest ones. And he also was from a mother who had committed adultery with David. You know?
Right.
So, and what kind of a type is that of us? I mean, you know what I mean? We were all in every kind of thing imaginable over the years, you know, as we were coming along.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, the Lord said, I will bring forth my servant, the branch, and he'll build the temple. You know, and I was trying to look that scripture up, and I can't remember, I think it's in Zechariah or one, I'm not really in Zechariah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and he said, and something about the glory being between them both, you know, and that's a strange thing to say, between them both. And what I was going to say there was, Jesus he was the original branch, the shoot, mm-hmm. the beginning of the offspring of what God was going to do, man in the image and likeness of God. But yet, when he came forth, then he began to say, I'm the vine now, and you're the branches.
Mm-hmm.
So literally, the temple is going to be built by us as lively stones, doing what you was talking about, waiting on the Lord, mm-hmm. and basically allowing his presence to so invade us,
mm-hmm.
that we fit into that place in the temple that of what we are, you know. And you know, but I like the life of David, because David defeated all the enemies of God. Solomon was pretty much at peace almost all of the time that he was,
mm-hmm. in his reign.
He had one or two battles, mm-hmm. there wasn't many. But he was kind of at peace, and everybody kept donating things to him to build that temple, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God has given us exceeding great riches, in the sense that everything that we need is available to us in the Spirit if we really can tap into it.
Right, and that's, yeah, absolutely, I agree 100%. I think, like you said, David, he had everything acquired for the building of the temple,
ready, yeah.
And David was the type of Christ. And when we receive Christ, we now have everything available to build that temple. But I think in order for us to build the temple, and this is what I'm trying to convey, I'm not the greatest speaker, but okay, but you know, we already have everything. The David has already provided it. It's in here. But we need peace now. We need to stay in the environment of the Christ Spirit in order to construct and allow that temple to be constructed within us.
Well, see, and then just going back a second again to talk about Solomon, remember what Solomon said when the Lord told him, that the prophet basically told him, the Lord wants you to ask what you will.
Yes, yeah.
And he's going to give it to you.
Right.
And what did he ask for?
Wisdom.
He asked for wisdom and right. kind of understanding that he could right. go in and out among such a great people. And literally, that's what we need to do every right. day, is ask the Lord right. for wisdom and understanding
right.
that we'll know what to do, and how to do it.
When to do it.
Because if we don't do that, we're gonna make a mess of it.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Right. So if we don't yes. ask, we wait yes. later on.
Right.
right.
And then we've already made a mess out of it sometimes.
Right.
Then God comes back and straightens it up, you know. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's...
Well, okay, that's good. I'm glad we got that all out. That's good. Brenda, will you read, say, the first three verses of Psalm 58, please?
Is it all right on the Amplified?
Yeah, it's good.
All right. Do you indeed in silence speak righteousness, O you mighty ones? Or is the righteousness, rightness, and justice you should speak quite dumb? Do you judge fairly and uprightly, O you sons of men? No, in your heart you devise wickedness. You deal out in the land the violence of your hands. The ungodly are perverse and estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies.
You know, I looked up several of the of these words in this psalm, and it was really kind of amazing to me that they didn't mean what I thought in my mind what they should have meant. Like when you look up the definition of the word congregation, this definition of it means silent, quiet. Yeah. Then you look up the definition of congregation somewhere else, and it means the gathering of the saints or whatever. Okay. So when I look, I thought, well, what do you mean? David was talking, and he said, where's the King James? Okay, do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? It's almost like the Lord was, I was taking it personal, it's like the Lord was speaking to us as the congregation. And I think David was saying, you know, if you don't speak, it's the same as being in agreement with the evil ones. You know, do you indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do you judge uprightly? Another translation that I was looking at here, Amplified, was good, where it says, do you indeed in silence speak righteousness?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, O you mighty ones, the Amplified says. What do you guys get from that? I mean, it's almost like it's, to me, I'm taking it as like a little rebuke that David is saying, as long as you as the congregation, the mighty ones of God, remain silent, it's the same as being in agreement with the wicked. You get where I'm going with that a little bit?
Silence was deafening.
Yes.
Sure.
Because when you should say something and you don't, then you said like you said, it sounds like you were in total agreement with whatever was said.
Well, that's what David, I think, is saying here. He's saying by you keeping silent, it sounds like you're in agreement with the wicked.
I mean, there is a time to be silent because
yeah.
you still know that I'm God.
Right, right. Right.
Like you're saying here, he's talking about righteousness.
Right, exactly.
And he's saying, but yet you're being mute, you're being silent.
Right.
You know.
Well, isn't there somewhere there where God even says, you thought because of my silence that I was in agreement with you? It was in somewhere here.
Yeah, there is like that, yeah.
And you know, you were mm-hmm. wrong. I mm-hmm. wasn't in agreement with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, like you were saying about the patience, sometimes we just have to be patient.
Yeah.
And not speak, let no man serve words before their time.
I'll give you an example of that, because I've had times when something would be going on in the church, and someone would say, you know, people were saying this or saying that.
Right.
And that person knew different, knew the way it really was. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, I didn't say anything. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking, oh, man, why didn't you say something?
Right.
Because you knew.
Right.
You could have set things straight.
Right.
And so many times, that's why we have to pray for such wisdom and understanding.
Yes.
Because there's times to speak and there's times to not speak.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know. I agree. Mm-hmm.
I even kind of see it not just with words, but with actions keeping silent. Because a lot of times, you know, when you kind of go along with something, you know, it will appear that you're going along with it because you're not taking that stand for righteousness in your actions that you should be doing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, you know, also not just speaking, but through our words.
Absolutely. Who was it? St. Augustine said, witness, and if you have to use words.
Yes.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone else goes there. But I was led to Psalm 82. And in there it says, God is in charge of the great meeting, of the great congregation. And he presides in the great assembly, or the assembly of the gods. And he says, how long will you defend evil people or judge unfairly? Now he's talking to the sons of God here, isn't he? How long will you show greater kindness or preference to the wicked and defend the weak and the orphans and defend the rights of the poor and the suffering and the needy? Mm-hmm. Save the weak and the helpless. Protect them from the power of the hand of the wicked. But you know nothing. You don't understand. You walk in the dark. While the world is falling apart and the foundations of the earth are tottering, I said you are gods, and you are sons of God Most High, but you will die like any other person, and you will fall like all the leaders. God, come and rise up and judge the earth.
In the King James, doesn't it say, how long will you let the earth be out of course? You know,
mm-hmm.
and if the earth is out of course, whose fault is that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not God.
Mm-hmm.
According to that, it's
all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, God. Yeah, man fell and got it out of course, but God came and reversed.
Yeah. Well, and then a lot of times I think we have the ability to bring it back into course by speaking His righteousness and by doing what He does.
Rich's Bible's got a footnote, you know, that says that David is talking to the judges of Israel. And about the corruption in the court and the cleansing of it. It gives a reference to Deuteronomy 1:16-17, which reads, Then I commanded your judges at that time, saying, hear the cases between your brethren, and judge righteously between a man and his brother, or the stranger who is with him. You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid in any man's presence, for the judgment is God's. The case that is too hard for you, bring it to me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do. So apparently, I don't know if they were taking bribes or, you know, what their politics were, but he's speaking to the judges of Israel who are not judging according to the law that God gave you.
Right. So how do we break that? How do we? Oh, go ahead, Rich. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
So, how do we bring that down to where we live? Is what I'm getting at. I understand where David's coming from. I understand the judges and the leaders of those days. But what does it mean to us being New Testament saints? All this. What is it that the Spirit is saying to us this morning?
Well, that might fit in.
Good.
It's interesting. It says, "O ye sons of men, of Adam."
Humanity.
And so. Especially when God asks questions, He's setting you up. And He's setting up the sons of Adam he's setting up the sons of the Adamic nature. Because when you read down through this rest of this Psalms, it's all about the flesh. There's nothing spirit in this when he's talking about, you know, lying and wicked and whatever. So he's speaking to the Adam in us, you know, what's going on here? Why are you allowing Adam to rule and reign in your life when you have the opportunity to let God?
I was talking to someone the other day saying that, you know, the Lord's been dealing with me about judging people and what you see. You don't know what is going on in their life. You don't know where they came from, but God does. You know, and when you put your judgment on someone either for good or for evil, sometimes you can go astray instead of listening to the Lord who says, judge not. Maybe just love.
Anytime that, like you were saying about Adam, anytime that we judge out of Adam, we're going to judge out of the character of what Adam was. And in Strong's, if you look up that word Adam, 120, it literally means, it comes from 119, and it means Adam, it means ruddy, it means a human being, an individual, or a species of mankind. It means another. What do you say? I'll not give my glory to what?
Another.
It means hypocrite. You know, you're going to be a hypocrite. You're not going to always, you know, not going to do what you say and say what you do, and we all fall into that category at times. A common sort, a low man, means a low degree person. And think about that. If we're functioning in that, on that, we're going to function in that. We're going to function as a low degree person, as a hypocrite, as a common sort, as another, instead of as him, you know. So, you know.
But that is exactly what the Spirit is saying through this psalm right here.
Right.
When David says, do you indeed speak righteousness? Do you really? You know, O congregation, do you judge uprightly, you sons of men? And, you know, that's what I was hearing the Spirit saying, that he wants us really to look at the wisdom that we're operating in, and do we indeed speak righteously, and do we judge fairly?
Well, that goes back to what we was talking about concerning Solomon, what Solomon asked for. You know, initially, he has asked for wisdom, and I believe an understanding that he'd go in and out among such a great people. And we have to ask God every day, give us wisdom, give us understanding, so that we don't function out of the natural mind, we function out of the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit knows the deep things of God. It knows all of the things that we don't know, you know what I mean? And if we operate out of that, then we'll be all right. And we don't always operate out of that, because we go in and out.
Right.
So we quit going in and out.
Right.
You know.
Right.
We're not going to be that pillar in the temple of God.
Yeah, what's that scripture where it says, who knows the spirit of a man but the spirit of the man? Who knows the spirit of God but the spirit of God? And we've got to walk in that spirit. Amen. And getting back to that word speak again, Kathy, that word there, when David is using it, that speak means to declare, to command, to threaten, to lead, and to rule. So he was talking about using your mouth to bring forth righteousness. So I had a verse here, too. David reminds me a lot of Job, too. I was looking at a couple of scriptures from Job, and I was thinking of David, where it said, Job said, therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit, and I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. And somehow Job and David seem to go through a lot of... Job 8:2 says, how long will you speak these things, and how long shall the words of your mouth be like a strong wind? It's almost like David is saying, you know, how long are you going to continue to speak things like this? It's like a strong wind that comes out of your mouth, you know. And Job was going through the same birth pains and the aggravation that King David was going through. But, okay, praise the Lord. Verse number 2. Are we through with verse number 1? Yea, in heart you work wickedness. You weigh the violence of your own hands in the earth. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. The heart, of course, is the inner part of the man, his mind, his will, his seat of appetites. Yea, in your heart you work wickedness. That's interesting. If the heart is the seat of our appetite and our soul, you know, what is it that we hunger for? If the heart is the seat of our appetites, what is it that our heart really is eating and feeding on all day long? What is it that we're craving?
Actually,
that's on who's on the throne of your heart. There you go. There you go. Who you're yielding to, I guess. I mean, we know that it's Christ in us, and he desires to live his life through us. But it's just a question of, I think, yielding our life to the Lord. Wickedness, of course, that's injustice, unrighteousness, and iniquity. To weigh is to make level and to balance things. It says, in your heart you plan evil, and you think up and disperse violent crimes in the land. From birth, the womb, evil people turn away and they go astray from God. They wander off and they tell lies as soon as they are born from the belly, which is another word for the womb, it says. They have poison and venom like poisonous snakes, like deaf cobras that stop and plug up their ears. Verse 4, it's really interesting. Excuse me, verse 5, it says, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. In other words, he's talking about a cobra there, how he's talking about snakes and having poisonous venom and all that. And he's saying they're like serpents, and they will not hearken to the voice of the charmer, charming ever so wisely. And when you look at that word charmer, you think of, like in some translations, as I looked it up in the King James, a charmer was like a necromancer. There were people that claimed that they could predict the future, whatever, through the spirits of dead, departed souls and all that. But in here, it takes on a different meaning here. It's almost like the Lord here, it says, you will not hearken to the voice of a charmer. And the definition there of the charmer is to whisper and to speak softly, a low speech produced with breath, but usually without voice. It's the breath speaking softly and quietly to you.
You think you've heard a voice?
Well, I think even that talks about the serpent. I don't know. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I
don't know. Yeah. Well, they were spirit.
It was audible.
Yeah.
Okay. It was
yeah.
Inner,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, spirit to spirit, like a whispering.
And it
yeah.
was charming to her to be able to.
Right.
Eat from
that tree, you know? Right. Right. Well, I think it's meaning here that it's like the Lord is trying to charm us. Yeah. I mean, when I was listening to the Spirit. When I was listening to the Spirit and the Lord had me look up the definition of the word charmer, it didn't mean the same thing in that usage that it meant all throughout the other scriptures. Because here, you know, the word charming was whisper to speak softly, to speak low, and it's breath, but usually without a voice. And the word charming there meant instead of to be charmed into deception, which is what my mind was thinking. When you look up the definition of the word charming there, it means to unite, to be joined together, and to have fellowship and to make an alliance. And it's almost like, you know, when the Spirit is saying, they're like snakes. They've got this poisonous venom in them. I'm trying to charm them. I'm trying to speak words of love and life to them. But they literally stop their ears up. I mean, one translation says they put their hands over their ears. You know, I'm not going to listen.
What's another version say?
This is like below here. It says the other main point comparison is stopping at the ear and not listening to the charmers. In the context of judging, it probably refers to listening to someone's case, to not listen to someone's case, and therefore not rendering justice fairly.
That's good. I'm saying the same thing. Yeah.
Anybody have another version that we haven't talked about? I'd love to hear you move in or rest and see anybody.
Yeah.
That's an expert.
Which one do you want to hear?
Either one. Just something, I'm just curious.
Here's, I don't know what, this is called EXB.
Yeah, Expanded Bible Version.
So they cannot hear the music of the snake charmer, no matter how well he plays. Wisely, skillfully, he enchants.
No matter how wisely the charmer plays, the serpent cannot hear. He just, of course, we're talking about a serpent nature, too. Yeah. And quite aptly called the serpent, you know.
ESP. Message.
ESP. ESP.
EXP.
Poison.
Expanded Bible.
Snake poison drips from your forked tongue. Death to threats. Death to charm. Decades of wax build up in their ears.
Do snakes have ears?
You know what? I was just going to tell you.
Hello.
I don't know if you've ever really watched those snake charmers in India where they actually tell you about them.
Sure. The cobras.
Snakes, that the music has nothing to do with the snake actually being mesmerized. They said it's because the guy has the horn and he keeps moving it, and it's the movement of the horn as he's doing that.
Oh.
The snake will go, it just moves back and forth with it, and they said the music has absolutely nothing to do with it. So I don't know if snakes are deaf. Maybe they're deaf. Maybe they don't even have ears.
I don't know.
Because they use their tongues to sense what's going on around them.
Yeah. Well, it says, like the definition of the charmer gives here, it says with breath, but usually without a voice. Mm-hmm. In other words, the noise, you know, the breath, of course, I think of the breath of life. And
I'm thinking there's some place, I'm trying to think in Genesis, is there some place where it talked about the hiss, you know, snakes hiss, which is a, that kind of a thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Can I go back just
a
minute?
Sure, go.
You know, before we were talking about the heart, and, you know, I just wanted to go back to that just a second. Scripture tells us that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, and who can know it? We don't know it. We only know our own hearts. You know?
Right.
And I was thinking about the epistles of John. John said, for if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts.
Praise God.
Thank God.
Yes, praise God.
New Testament, thank God for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
If we didn't have that, we'd be in big time trouble, you know. But he's greater than our hearts. And the sacrifice he made is even greater than our hearts or our thoughts.
Yes, right.
Really, if you look at the word heart, it talks about the mind and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, the thought processes, basically, and that kind of thing. So thank God that his sacrifice, he's greater than even our hearts, you know.
Absolutely.
If our hearts are condemning us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And knoweth all things, it says there. He knows all things. We don't even know ourselves most of the time, to be honest with you. I feel like a lot of times we don't even know who and what we are, you know, at times, until God reveals it to us.
In verse number 3, before, what you were talking about was basically what they call nature versus nurture.
Mm.
And that reminds me of the wicked are estranged from the womb. It's like, you know, you can come from a good family. Your parents can be good Christians.
Yes.
And a lot of times the children, there's no accounting, you know, for the things that they do according to what they know, how they were raised, and where they come from.
Say that again. I'm sorry, Debbie. No, say it again. I didn't.
It just seemed like you were talking, in the beginning, you were talking about what they call nature versus nurture.
Mm.
You know, like
how much
of a person.
Heredity versus environment.
Right.
Yeah.
And you could have, you know, good parents come from.
Absolutely.
Good people.
Right.
And be raised well. And so many times, even a lot of times with preacher's kids, it's like,
absolutely,
they just go wacko.
Yeah.
And it just, not, it just reminded me of that scripture there. It's like, you know,
yeah,
God's the one who made them.
Yeah, amen.
And it's the thing about, you know, some vessels were made for honorable use and some for dishonorable.
That's deep.
Uh-huh.
That's deep. Yeah. Estranged means to be a stranger. Estranged woman. Let's see, the wicked are estranged. Estranged means a strange woman, to be alienated. Wicked is hostile toward God. And the womb, it says womb man. Two women. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. Anybody got anything on that?
I think that's all humanity.
All humanity?
I do. I think everyone from the womb is the nature of God.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why we have to be born again, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was gonna read this out of that one verse out of here. This is the message. It says, the wicked crawl from the wrong side of the cradle.
You mean it's all the cradle's problem? Yeah.
The wrong side has been acknowledging the birth of Adam.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Yes.
So it's all the cradle. Is that like out on the wrong side of the bed this morning? That's really just about all I had. I just want to cover those first five voices, first five verses. And I felt like it was just something the Lord wanted to draw out of that for us, you know, to take that letter and get into the Spirit and peel that corn off and peel that husk off and get the piece of corn out of it. But Psalm, did you have something to say, Oscar?
No, it's been very good. I think it's
been good. Psalm 82 again. I'm going to read that one more time. God is in charge of the great congregation, or he is in charge of the great meeting. He presides in the great assembly, or the assembly of the gods. He judges among the gods. John 10:35 says that too. Jesus said that. He says, how long will you defend or judge? How long will you defend evil people or judge unfairly? How long will you show greater kindness and favor to the wicked? Defend the weak and the poor and the orphans. Defend the rights and vindicate the poor and the suffering needy. Save and rescue the weak and the helpless. Free and protect them from the power in the hands of the wicked. You know nothing, you don't understand, and you walk in the dark, while the world is falling apart and the foundations of the earth are tottering. I said you are gods, you are all sons of the Most High God, but you will die like any other person and you will fall like all the leaders. God, come and rise up and judge the earth. And judge the earth. I don't think it's necessarily talking about the world. I think right now God's dealing with his church. Judgment begins at the house of God. And I think God's trying to bring his church into a place where he can make us a vehicle that will be equipped to walk in love and to go and judge the earth in righteousness, where not only will it just be in word, like Kathy was saying, but it'll be in deed. You know, we'll be able to manifest Christ instead of just tell people about him. Because I think one of the greatest problems, the gravest problems we have on the earth today is our testimony a lot of times doesn't match up with our lives, and still with some of the things that are coming out of our mouths. And we got a lot more growing to do. But thank God it's there, like King David, like Oscar was saying. King David provided everything that Solomon needed to build that temple in peace. And our King David, Jesus, it's all in here. It's all been provided. It's finished. And the Lord is saying, you know, if you'll just stay in my presence and stay in that peace, you'll be able to build that temple, and you'll make great progress. Be careful and stay away from all the allure of the world, contentious people, fighting, arguing, warring, because, you know, when you do that, we're putting our tools down, and we're leaving all the temple, we're putting the temple on the back burner, you know, instead of building the temple, allowing Jesus to build the temple internally by his grace and his love. Yeah.
A few weeks ago, Rich, when you was teaching, didn't you say something about the chief cornerstone and actually being the capstone or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the capstone of something, isn't that the very peak of it too?
It's the head.
We know
yeah.
he's the foundation, mm-hmm. but if he's the capstone, then he's the last thing that's going to come forth also.
Amen.
And he's going to come forth in us.
Yes.
And as the capstone, you know, too.
Right. Amen.
It'll be all about him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
But I was thinking about when you said that a couple weeks ago, that was real good.
Yeah.
So, don't feel too bad when you fall short. You know, just thank God that he's greater than our hearts, you know, than our thought processes and everything else. And just ask him, Lord, you have to change me. You have to help me see these things and all that. Because we have a real bad problem of heaping condemnation on ourselves, you know. And a lot of times that will keep us from doing what God desires us to do. Because we tell ourselves, I can't do that because of this or because of that or because of something else. Well,
all right. Amen.
That's not what he wants, you know.
Stay focused, huh?
He knows our weaknesses and he knows our fame that we put dust without his presence. So,
amen.
You know.
Lonnie, you want to say a word of prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for your wisdom and your understanding.
Yes, Lord.
We ask your blessing on everyone in this room.
Yes,
Lord. We ask you to open our hearts and our minds and our hunger to search and research and continue to search for the truth in your word.
Yes, Lord.
We ask your blessing upon the service. Thank you, Father, because the Holy Spirit is here already.
Yes.
We thank you for your blessing,
God.
Yes.
Bless you with speech this morning. Bless the people with the songs. Just give them the right songs this morning. Let them hear you.
Yes.
Give all this into your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.